So we're going to work really hard for our partners, but certainly if you're in partnership role or a BD role at a big horizontal platform, you're kind of operating on both sides of the fence and trying to make it work for all of us.
Welcome to SaaS Connect, the SaaS Partnership Podcast, brought to you by the Cloud Software Association. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com.
The question that I'm really going to talk about is, how do you win a vertical? That's critically important for companies like ours who are in vertical SaaS, but it's also a really important question for horizontal platforms as they look to make deeper plays into verticals. So I'm going to talk to you a bit about our story, the successes and failures that we've had, and also the observations that we've made of our partners and what's worked for them. I know that there are some partners of ours walking around, so I can't see any in the room, but if you are there and something sounds like a public criticism, I'm just talking about someone else, don't worry about it. Okay, let's get into it. So first, a few basics about Vend, just so you have the context of where we're at. So our customers are small and medium-sized retailers. And when I say retail, we talk about inventory-based retail, so fashion, giftwares, homewares, those kinds of stores. We don't do hospitality, so no restaurants, bars, cafes. So we've got a pretty clear vertical focus. It's about 20,000 stores now on the platform. Our median customer has only one store, so a lot of them are very small businesses. But our biggest customers are up over 100 stores as well, so we do have a bit of a range. Our product, as I said, point of sale. That label makes it sound like we're disrupting the cash register, which doesn't sound very interesting, but it's kind of true. But actually for retailers and certainly for our customers, the point of sale is the platform that they use to run their business. So it's where they manage their product range, their inventory levels, as well as, yes, it's the cash register that they have in front of them. And I'm going to talk about that some more. We've got a bunch of partners. We're a very global company. We have customers in about 130 countries, and there's not one country which has more than about a third of our customer base. So we're very spread, which also means we have a lot of partners around the world. Those that you would have heard of in this country, the likes of Apple, Xero, Square, Vantiv, now Worldpay, sort of outside of the US. Another example is we work with the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, which is about a sort of $50 billion market cap bank, so big companies, as well as we have many small channel partners. About 220 people, Auckland, Melbourne, Toronto, London, San Francisco, and we've raised about $45 million in capital. And that's just to say what stage we're at. So we're not really still in startup phase. We're very much in scale-up, but also not a mature company. So that just gives you a bit of context on Vend. You've probably guessed from my funny accent that we're based in Auckland, New Zealand, which feels a long way away from San Francisco and therefore may be challenging to build partnerships, but actually it's pretty easy and it's actually only an overnight fly to sleep on it and all of those good things. So Auckland is very close. Don't be scared to come and talk to us. Also come down for a holiday. We need your money. And it was founded in 2010 by a guy called Vaughan Rousel. So I wasn't the founder of the company. Vaughan, like all good children in New Zealand, just wanted to make the world a better pos. And he went out and talked to retailers and could see a whole lot of change happening in their industry. You know, he could see that consumers were changing the way that they shopped, a lot more using social, using mobile, all of those things which now are just obvious and self-evident. And Vaughan's original idea was he wanted to create a mobile app. But when he talked to retailers, he realized that most of them were still using these crappy systems, probably sitting on a counter, maybe a sort of non-internet connected PC in the back room of the store. And he wasn't going to be able to get the data to build the mobile app. Also, many of them needed to just work on the basics of running their business. And so Vaughan thought he'd create a point of sale and get back to the mobile app. And about 7 and a bit years later, we're still going. So fast forward 5 years, 2015, that was when I joined Vend. As Kevin said, initially as head of strategy and then went through a few jumps and became CEO about 2 years ago, beginning of 2016. Actually, when I arrived, the value proposition of the company was still pretty simple. And the product vision, don't know if you can all read that. That's an actual ad that we ran. I think we had it on billboards on a freeway somewhere here as well. That was another one, smash the cash register. So very simple idea and also simple go-to-market. So a go-to-market, probably like many of you in the SMB space, was, hey, we had a website, we optimized it for search, did a bit of pay-per-click advertising, got customers to the website, take a trial, hopefully they would activate themselves, and otherwise we had some people who could help them through that trial. We called them salespeople, but they were much more like support with a revenue target. So that was where we started from. What I found when I got there in terms of partnerships. So first of all, we did have a partnership with a company called Xero. Woohoo! $5 billion market cap company, hundreds of thousands of customers, great overlap with our customer base, but they were also based just down the road from us. And many of us knew people from Xero personally, so we couldn't really, the relationship we had with that big company wasn't really representative of any capabilities that we'd built within the organization. We'd also just launched a partnership with Apple, and the team was really excited about that. We had an open API and a marketplace of sorts. So this is just a screenshot from our marketplace in 2015, and it kind of says a little bit about the stage that we were at with our partnership program. So first of all, the title at the top says product add-ons. I think it still says that on the website, actually. But that was the way that we thought about it within the company as well. So partnerships were really just things that product did. They weren't commercial opportunities. They weren't really revenue drivers. You can see our own iPad app is at the top of the add-ons list, which embarrasses me, but I'll show it anyway. Xero, who was one of the most important partners, was barely above the fold. And there were others that were on our marketplace page, things like food ordering apps that really didn't apply at all to our vertical. So it was a mess. Now, that's not because the people in the company were stupid. It's just because it didn't get a lot of focus and we weren't managing things very tightly. And that was representative of kind of the prevailing wisdom within the executive team as well, where we were probably misinterpreting a couple of these smart people who basically said that partnerships don't work. And if you looked underneath, the subtext of that was also that partnerships particularly don't work in the SMB space. So the executive team was really focused on the direct business. So that was sort of the status when I joined Vend. If you fast forward to now, partnerships are a critical part of our strategy. So they are now a material part of our sales. They're great economics. Now we've recognized the value of partners in terms of lifetime value. So some of our partners, when our customers integrate with them, we literally have zero churn each month. That's not a rounding zero. That's literally no customer churns if they're attached to some of our partners. So there's massive value in it for us, and we've made it a big thing about the way that we operate. So what changed? Can I just ask, how many people in the room are actually in BD or partnerships roles? Yeah, I thought that might be the case. And I saw from a couple of earlier talks that a lot of you are having problems convincing your CEO to make partnerships part of your strategy. Is that also the case for many of you? Yeah, there's a few people around the room. Okay, so I'm going to talk a bit about the things that really changed our mindset and made partnerships core to what we do. And there are really three of those things. The first one was we started from a very simple question of what is the solution that our customers need beyond just our product? Very simple, right? And the original version of this for us was just myself and Vaughn standing around a whiteboard, scribbling the names of everyone we'd heard of who might be relevant, drawing connections between them and going, that gives me a sense now for what the landscape looks like. This is the slightly prettier version that we think about now. So this is the way that we think about retail. There are some core things in the roots which all retailers need to do and will always need to do around customers, inventory, insights, managing all of those things. But there is a ton of innovation happening all around the branches which are relevant for retailers. And of course, we put ourselves in the middle. So Vend is the trunk of the tree which is trying to bring all of this stuff together. Might be a little bit arrogant for us to put ourselves in the middle of the tree, particularly when you see sort of small companies like Amazon and Facebook as little kind of leaves around the edge of that. And we, of course, recognized this as soon as we drew this up. And this was the first thing which made us say, okay, partnerships inevitably have to be a core part of our strategy. And you look right around those leaves, and there are many big companies, even if they're not quite the size of a Facebook or an Amazon. The other thing we realized, though, was that this was a massive opportunity for us as a competitive advantage in the long run. You know, we felt that we could build this platform to bring all of this together, that, and we could do it in a way that many of our competitors couldn't. And certainly those that had legacy on-prem businesses just were not be able to execute this. So basically, we came up with a view of what the future of retail looked like. And from there, the need for partnerships and building that platform and building a program around that became very, very obvious. Number two, talk to some possible partners. And this started with a lot of dumb luck, I have to say. So I'd spent some time, you know, I started out as VP strategy, had gone around the company, tried to talk to a lot of people, had tried to find out what we were doing in the partner space and didn't really find much. And then I stumbled across a couple of people in the organization. One was in the product org, another one was in the sales org. And they really believed in the future of partnerships from our business, and they'd been doing a whole lot of heroic work in the background to try and spark something up. So from there, we just started to talk to a bunch of people. I showed up at Money 2020, big payments conference, got a few meetings, and through all of those conversations, just started to feel that magical pull from the market. In this case, though, from channel partners as rather than from end customers. So just going out there, we had no idea what we were going to get out of it, but talking to some people was a big step for us in changing our strategy. The third thing, pretty simple. We just asked ourselves the question, how can we scale to $100 million in ARR? It's a question which all of us have got in SaaS, but I think it's also easy to lose sight of it. For us, we were in the constant pressure of monthly targets, quarterly priorities. We hadn't really stepped back and said to ourselves, how were we going to get all the way to this promised land? So we knew we didn't need partnerships to hit our targets for that year. But when we stepped back and looked at how we were going to get to that $100 million in ARR, it became very, very obvious that partners were going to be a critical part of what we did. That brings me to a few lessons that we've learned. So I'm going to go through a few lessons both for vertical SaaS players and some tips for the horizontal players as you engage with us. The first one is think long term, act now. Look, in all of our companies, so as you're building a startup, traction is so important. You know, maybe you've raised money from investors and they're putting pressure on you to deliver results. Not maybe, if you've raised money, that will happen. You might be trying to raise the next round. And it's easy, as I said, to lose sight of those longer term issues. But there's a real problem with that. If you think about it from a go-to-market perspective, the SaaS playbook now is very, very well known. So much has been written about it. You come to conferences like this, you can pretty much hear every playbook. And we know that these markets are pretty efficient, and that means that go-to-market channels can decay pretty quickly. So we saw that partnerships were a big part of our future, and we realized that we were going to need to do something now. We didn't want to be caught without a lead gen strategy when kind of Google or Facebook changed their algorithm or when bid prices got too high. So that was really, really important for us. The second lesson that we learned, act bigger than you are. And maybe I shouldn't say I'm from New Zealand at these things as well. I say we're based out of San Francisco. Look, Vend had, even when I joined, we'd had some success getting partnerships with big companies, the likes of Xero and Apple. In spite of that, there was still some hesitancy around going and trying to create new partnerships and also in basically asking too much of our partners. So I would go into meetings and I noticed that the team would just hold back from the things that we knew that we needed. And I think underlying that was this insecurity, people asking themselves, what have we got to offer these massive companies? And what we realized is that we actually have a lot. So many of these big horizontal platforms were going through a process where they wanted to go deeper into verticals, and either they didn't have a product that went deep enough, or it was just too small for them to bother with. So Facebook is not going to build a point of sale product, touch wood. And we had the product which could solve that problem for them. And for us, what that meant was, yes, another part of building that overall solution for our customers, but also it meant that we had the potential to get access to these companies' customers and their channels. And that was a big opportunity. So we've seen that play out with a couple of types of partners. I think it's true for our friends at Xero in Australia. They built a very, very strong market position, almost dominant. And they were looking at the next phase of growth. And naturally, a specialist verticalized strategy was going to be part of that next wave for them. And they weren't going to build a POS. Likewise, we saw that with payments players. So the traditional payments players, they could see that they needed integrations with point of sale. They were much bigger than us, and they still are much bigger than us. But we had a product that they needed. And so even though we were smaller, we were really important for them. So we've seen that play out with a couple of different partnership opportunities. And the other thing, of course, is the data that we had. You know, our customers this year will turn over literally billions of dollars. And we have all of that transaction information, as well as product information, absolutely products attached to those transactions. In many cases, we had consumer details attached to those transactions as well. And we might have had a history of that, of how that consumer behaved over time. That data is just a treasure trove, which is really, really enticing for big players. So that was lesson number two, act bigger than you are. Lesson number three for me was more about the internal perspective. I had to be aware of the organizational antibodies that we had against this new partner program. I mentioned before that we had a couple of people who were doing heroic work in the background, And it kind of set off a light bulb for me of why haven't I heard about these people before? And the reason is because partnerships was kind of, no one really thought that it was going to be a big thing. And as you start building out a partner program from a direct channel background, the sort of things that the rest of the company is going to be saying is, hey, I've got monthly targets. These partnership folks seem to have very soft things which are going to maybe happen over time. Why are they not held as accountable as I am? They might see a new BD hire come in, and that person will have an MBA, maybe dress nicer than them, wear collared shirts a bit more often, and they realize that that person's probably getting paid a lot, and so that pressure lifts even more. And if you look across the organization, adding partnerships can also make life a bit more difficult for folks, right? So it certainly puts pressure on your platform engineers, your support and CS folks, the marketing team. Suddenly they have to do landing pages for partnerships, which maybe doesn't get as much traffic as the other pages on the website. So there are all of these forces underneath which are going to make it hard to build a partner program on top of a direct business. In that situation, I think you've got two options. So option A, make a big play or a pivot. So this is when you decide you're going to go all in on partnerships. I'm going to make a big strategy announcement. I'm going to bring on a whole lot of resource. I'm going to change the entire KPIs of the business. That might be the right thing to do. I can see some heads nodding of things that you have done in your company. That might be the right thing to do, but it's a very risky move. So you'd either better be prepared for the downside or you'd better be bloody sure that it's right. Option B is the approach that we took, which was to gradually build. So I had a sense that, that's probably one of the few things I got right through this process, I had a sense that there were these antibodies. And so we went through this gradual process. That started out, phase one, grabbed those two guys who I mentioned, put them into BD. They acted very much below the radar. So they weren't in the executive team, but they reported directly to me as the CEO. We built up some boilerplate term sheets so we could make things efficient, and I at least had some confidence that they weren't going to be going off and making big promises that we didn't really want to keep. We knew we weren't going to be able to dictate terms to our partners, but we at least wanted to have a foundation. And then basically, I told them they needed to beg, borrow, or steal any other resource that they wanted out of the likes of product, marketing, or sales, which is a pretty tough ask on those guys. But having said that, I knew that a big part of the role was going to be them hustling our partners externally. And so sort of testing them on whether they could hustle within our organization was not a bad thing to do either. Phase two, as we started to get some traction, we saw leads coming through, we saw revenue, we saw the impact that these partnerships had on our lifetime value. We decided it was time to make an executive hire. And we brought on Anna to do two things, really. One was to put more structure around our strategy, and the other one was to just much more rigorously operationalize the way partners push throughout our business. And we also started giving the team a bit more marketing support to try and pull the rest of the organization along. And as that built momentum, we got to phase three, which is where we are at right now, which is a much better place. So we have that dedicated executive who's speaking to partnership issues at the exec table. We've got those BD folks in place. We have a dedicated integrations team in our product organization and marketing and sales. Again, we've got dedicated people who are focused on working with our partnerships, both on the kind of driving more leads out of them and managing the relationship, but also on passing leads over and making sure that our partners are feeling well served. And also we put in place those key KPIs. So I had to start off the partnership organization with a bit of an incubation approach. You know, we know that things take time, and I didn't want them to be held to those monthly targets the way that the rest of the org was. But now the rest of the organization can see that the partnership folks are held to the same level of accountability as they are. So that's a process which, as I said, you might decide to go with a big play, but that's worked very well for us. Okay, let's flip now to the other side of the table and talk a little bit about what this means for horizontal players in a market and how they can get into verticals. Now, the first question you might ask is why bother? And it goes back to some of the stuff that I said before, which is something that we've seen now, even with very successful horizontal platforms, is growth starts to plateau, competition starts to get more intense, and they need to look for new strategies to grow. And inevitably, going deeper into a vertical is one of the things which comes up on the radar. Might not be the right option for everyone, but it's absolutely going to be on the list of options. So as I talk about this, let's first recognize some differences. In most of the partnerships we've done, so the likes of Vend and Square and Vantiv, now Worldpay, our partner has been much bigger than us in terms of their customer base and the resources that they can bring to bear. And I think that that's likely to be the case for many of you, partially just because a lot of those horizontal markets are bigger, so they can build bigger companies. And also because those markets are bigger, in many cases the horizontal platform was built earlier. Entrepreneurs saw that as a bigger opportunity earlier, and so these companies tend to be a bit more developed, and they certainly have been in our case. On the other side, of course, as I said, we have got a lot of specialized knowledge and assets that we bring to bear, right? So that's really the basis for all of these partnerships that we've gone into. We've observed a few things about our partners. Maybe some of you are from horizontal platforms. Maybe this will help for those of you in vertical who are looking to work with horizontal players. So the first tip for horizontal players is very simple. Just use us for what we have. So I talked before about product and data, and that's usually pretty obvious. But I have to say, my experience is that one of the most underutilized assets that we have is our knowledge of our customer base and the resources that we've built up over time to service them, right? So I have, sometimes it's been like pulling teeth, getting access to a sales team at a partner, which sort of doesn't really make sense to me if you're really trying to build a program. I've offered up on many occasions sort of content marketing resources, tailor them as you want, syndicate, do whatever you want, and they haven't really been taken. And I think that that's a really lost opportunity. Tip number two, on the other side, don't use us much for other things that we really can't offer you. And in particular, again, an experience that I've had pretty often is we negotiate a partnership. Everyone knows about what the other side's bringing from a product perspective. We're trying to grow net new customers. Maybe it's even more explicit than that, that we're bringing product, the partner's bringing channels and customers. And you launch the partnership and everyone's very excited. And then you get to the first quarterly business review. And the question I hear is, why aren't you sending us more leads? And, you know, that's fine. It's a valid question. But I guess, and we will send our partners and do send our partners leads. I know how important that is for our customers. It's also important to show commitment to our partners. But if you have a million customers, trying to extract new leads out of our customer base probably isn't the tactic that's going to move the needle for you out of working with a company of size like us. And tip number three is make it easy. And let's make it easy for both your customers and also your partners. So again, a journey that I've seen many platforms go through is they start out with a very open marketplace, level playing field. Over time, they build up all of these partners. And particularly when you're targeting small and medium-sized businesses, what you find is that all of your customers are time poor. And going through that long marketplace gets confusing. And so then everyone gets to the point where they say, okay, now I need to curate my partners. I need to be clear on which verticals these are applicable to. I probably need to create a preferred partner program and give some of my partners more visibility. That's usually pretty scary for a horizontal platform because they work with so many folks and they don't want to give preference. I can tell you from my perspective, it's absolutely okay, as long as you're clear about what the criteria are. And that gives us a chance. My take is, if you don't make it easy for your customers, it won't work for any of your partners. And so at least give us something to shoot for. And of course, make it easy for your partners. Many of us are spending a lot of time trying to penetrate big companies. The more you can help us navigate your sales org, again, I've seen plenty of cases where sales teams fail or they cherry pick leads because they don't really understand how to talk to retailers. You know, there's conflict in product org, all of those things, even through a deal process, make sure you bring in legal early on. These are all very basic things, but I've definitely seen them fall over. Those are all things which you can do to help make things easier. So we're going to work really hard for our partners, but certainly if you're in partnership role or a BD role at a big horizontal platform, you're kind of operating on both sides of the fence and trying to make it work for all of us. So look, that's it. As I said, I think there is a massive opportunity in partnerships for vertical SaaS players, but also for horizontals who are going deeper. I hope it's been useful hearing about some of our successes and failures, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thanks. We have time for one question.
Question, I love the antibody slide. Thank you very much, that's fantastic. You talked about the incubation period, sort of building up this partner program.
Yep.
Do you have a timeline in mind for your team of tuning to see the fruits of that before you're going to maybe cut it off?
Yeah, I would love to say that I did and it was all very specific, but no, is the honest answer. So, you know, and part of that was because we had relatively junior folks as well in those roles. Well, they were great, but I didn't want to put too much pressure on them. I really wanted them to have the freedom to explore. And then just as we started to get more understanding, then we just turned the screws a little bit and started putting more and more pressure on around timelines and deliverables.
Can you give a sense of how long was that before you started to see some revenue?
Yeah. So early, this has probably been a two-year process to get from that beginning point that I said to the end, but we started to see traction in, let's call it 3 months, something like that. But it was early, right? It was about seeing the early signs.
Super. All right. Thanks, Alex. Big hand.
If you like this and want more great insights on software partnerships, you've got to rate, like, and subscribe. And join us at thecloudsoftwareassociation.com. Thank you, as always, to our podcast producers, Content Allies. They help B2B companies like you launch revenue-generating podcasts. They'll schedule interviews, produce the podcast, and promote it. Check them out at contentallies.com. We'll see you on the next episode.